Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Every 2 years, Milwaukee hosts one of the preeminent North American piano competitions for young musicians. Piano Arts 2016 North American Piano Competition and Music Festival has been underway since Friday. It opened with a concert by one of our next guests.
Pallavi Mahidhara won the Piano Arts and Bach Grunau Prize in 2006. One of her judges then was our other guest today, Milwaukee native and acclaimed pianist himself, Peter Takacs, who talks about why he returns as a judge for this competition.
It's wonderful to be back. This is a special competition. It has so many elements in it that many competitions don't have. For example, the whole idea of speaking about the music, introducing your pieces, which is means that you have to think, analyze, and be articulate, and be able to address an audience. That's really a wonderful skill to cultivate. The other is that there's a chamber music part of it, which I think is a fantastic skill, because not only do you play your instrument, but you also have to listen to someone else and adapt and be flexible, and be able to work out an organic interpretation. And then there's also, for the finalists, there's a concerto. So all of the elements of our instrument are represented. You have solo, chamber, and concerto, and also speaking. You know, these days, music careers are difficult, competitive. And so the more skills you have, the more ways you have of being able to connect with audiences and present yourself, I think the more conducive it is to being successful. So this competition promotes really wonderful skills beyond just playing your instrument.
So, Pallavi, you were judged by Peter 10 years
right.
ago, is that correct?
That is right.
And so how much does what he's saying about this competition ring true for you?
No, I think it's absolutely true what he's saying, and it's absolutely correct. I mean, I think it's really important to have these kind of skills as a musician. It's not enough anymore just to play your instrument, and it shouldn't be enough just to play your instrument in any case, because I think in order for us, we're performers, you know, in order for us to be able to connect with our audiences, as Peter was saying, it's important for us to break that barrier down. And one way of doing that is to introduce our pieces. It gives the audience kind of an insight to our own personality as well and how we view the music. Okay, it's an interpretation. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to sit and give a 20-minute analysis of the piece, but it's just something that reaches into you, that touches you, that touches your soul, and how you can communicate that with the people that are listening to you, that have come to hear you play.
How important was this competition for you 10 years ago?
Well, it's funny because I actually first met Sue when I was 10. She heard me at one of the MTNA competitions. I think it must have been the Baldwin one at that age. And we have had a longstanding relationship since. And when Piano Arts, you know, had started and was becoming, you know, kind of important, She told me, you have to come do this competition. And I was very grateful to be a part of it. And I'm so happy to keep this longstanding relation with both Sue and with Piano Arts. And I come back every couple of years to play around here. And, you know, I think, as Peter said, it's a unique competition, and it's a special competition that we have so many different elements that are important to what we do. And we are expected to be able to excel in so many different things that I think are necessary.
Do you think competitions like this help advance careers? I mean, do people who are looking to hire a pianist, you know, for a concert series or something like that, are they looking at how well they do at competitions like this?
I think it can be part of your resume. You know, there's so many competitions these days that almost like any one competition doesn't guarantee anything. And a lot of it has to do with how you use it, you know, what you do after that. But it can be a springboard. It can be certainly part of your career description if you win a prize. But I wouldn't say that maybe this competition can create a career. But I want to follow up on Pallavi said about the follow-up with Sue. She keeps in touch with all of the competitors and often invites them back. And I think there's also some kind of outreach component where the competitors go and play for young people or play in schools. And that's yet another aspect that's really amazingly positive, is not to just be a kind of a closed, but it connects with the larger community. Also, the judges and the competitors interact quite a lot in this competition. It's not unusual. There's other competitions that have meetings, but that whole aspect of feedback is just so important. you know, because you come to a competition, you prepare, and let's say that you don't win, and you go home and say, oh, I lost. But if you can get some feedback and hear what the judges heard and maybe find ways to improve or get their reaction, then it can become a positive experience, and it should be a positive experience. So I look forward to meeting with all of the contestants and talking to them. And I hope that they listen and they can follow up on what we're doing or what we're saying.
Take away something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I think that is so important because there's only going to be one winner, but that doesn't mean everyone else loses. There has to be a certain level, I assume, that is assumed here, you know, to even get into the competition. You have to be
screened. They're screened by a preliminary jury. And I think the level is always extraordinarily high. You know, I judge a number of competitions, and I'm always amazed at the level of professionalism. These are sometimes, and I think here they're 14 to 17, but I've heard competitions for young people, 12, 13, 14. They're professionals, you know. It's really remarkable.
That age range, 14 to 17, it doesn't seem like a lot, but you change a lot in that time and you grow a lot in that time and your interpretations deepen. I imagine that's interesting, too, as a judge, but also you, Pallavi, to listen to other players and to say, wow, you know, you played this way. You know, when I heard you at 14 and now you're playing this way at 17, mm-hmm. You've dug in, and that must be true for you as you've grown in your career as well.
Well, for sure. I don't necessarily always like to listen to my old recordings because I think, what was I doing? But, you know, I mean, I guess everybody always feels that way at some point. That's kind of one of the biggest aspects of being a musician, is that it's always a learning process and always there's always room to improve, and that's kind of the greatest aspect about it, that it's a never-ending process.
Peter, do you have difficulty looking back at some of, or listening back to some of your early recordings?
I don't listen to my recordings much because I always say, oh my God, what did I do? sometimes I listen to them, I say, you know, that wasn't so bad, you know. So, you know, there are good performances there sometimes when you're in a zone and other times when you're less of a zone.
I mean, in terms of recordings and recording in a studio, for example, versus taking a live recording, I was always one person that, and still am, that loves to perform on stage, but I'm not always exactly the most comfortable in front of a microphone, studio microphone. So I tend to prefer to take live recordings with a couple mistakes here and there, because for me, for example, I think one of the biggest inspirations when I play is the audience and the intangible connection there is with them and the energy that comes from them. And I respond really, really a lot to how the audience is feeling and how they're reacting to the music and how things are in the hall. And that's changed a lot as I've gotten older as well, that I've become more and more comfortable each time going to new halls and
getting
to play. Yeah. It's, you know, it used to be scarier when I was younger to always have to try a new piano. And, you know, sometimes when you have 5 minutes, for example, before a competition, all you're thinking about is what's wrong with the piano. You know, like, oh, I have to make sure that I voice this note here because this section is more dull on the piano and this doesn't speak here and these repeated notes will be, you know, you just think about these things. But actually, what's more important is how you use your ears when you're playing. You know, we practice and practice and practice and practice and our fingers are trained. But I think, you know, everybody used to tell me when I was younger and I didn't really understand it until I started to get older and started to really, you know, realize these things. But the more we use our ears when we play, the greater the spontaneity, the artistic success, and the more we can enjoy. So for me, that's why I think.
It's almost like you have to be in the moment as much as you possibly can.
Very much so. Yeah. Very much so. It's not, I mean, we're
not. Trust your technique. Trust all of those things, all those hours of practice that you did.
Because ultimately, we're not computers. We are human beings. We are souls. And that's what people want to hear. You know, we don't need to come with a player piano. We could just press the button and press play and run off and go have coffee. So, you know.
Although I'm sure there are days when you think, let's have that and I'll just go have the coffee.
No, no.
No, really? You don't get tired on tour?
No, I mean, okay, being tired is different, but every time, I mean, and I know Peter, you know, can back me up on this, but every time that one sits down to play, it's a completely different experience. Even in the same hall, even with the same program 3 nights in a row, every single night will be different because the audience is different and you personally are different. You know, they say like two snowflakes are never identical.
Right.
It's the same way, I think. At least that's how I try to look at it. It's my
psychology. And I'm sure that's true for you after all these years of playing, Peter.
It's very nice to hear what Pallavi's saying. It's, you know, to give the impression of total spontaneity. I mean, we practice and we do program ourselves to a certain amount because you need to have your all of your reflexes trained. But we do that in order to be able to let go when the time comes. And I think that also comes with experience and with age. You know, you feel like you don't have to be perfect. You know, I certainly am not and don't try to be. But that element of feeling something almost as if for the first time, it's really important. I personally am a jazz lover, and I'm inspired by jazz players because they do improvise. And there's a kind of creativity at the moment that seems not analytical, not programmed in any way. So I'm inspired by jazz musicians quite a lot.
I'm very envious of them.
Well, one of the composers that you are so associated with, Peter, Beethoven, was a master improviser.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought him up. You know, talking about recordings, that was a major project of mine to record the complete piano sonatas. And at the beginning, I was nervous about the microphones because there were about 12 of them. There were two close to the piano and so on. It was sort of a surround sound. But as time went by and I got more into the experience, I started to let go. First of all, you can always do it again in front of the mic. So they didn't intimidate me so much. I said, I'm going to play and we can always fix whatever goes wrong later. So by the end, I was actually quite free and you can sort of see the progression. So that's also a matter of getting used to that environment. I mean, it's strange because there's no audience. There's the engineers and the mics. So you have to create your own excitement and your own sense of immediacy. I think it comes across.
Well, I can't thank you enough for both of you for coming in and talking a little bit about this competition. And Peter, I hope it's not 10 years before we see each other again.
Well, thank you. I look forward to it. And I want to say that my fellow judges are both friends, Ursula Appens and Joe Kalickstein. So I look forward to spending time with them, listening to wonderful, talented
great
young
music.
Pianist.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And Pallavi, best of luck with the rest of your career, and I hope you'll come back and talk with us again at some point, too.
Thank you so much. I would absolutely love to.
Milwaukee native and internationally renowned pianist Peter Takacs is one of the judges for the Piano Arts 2016 North American Piano Competition and Music Festival. He's also performing tomorrow night along with some of the other judges and members of the Milwaukee Symphony in a chamber concert.
Pallavi Mahidara won the Piano Arts Anne Bach Grunau Prize in 2006. She played an opening night concert last Friday. The competition takes place at both the Wisconsin Conservatory of Music and at the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center for the Arts in Brookfield, where the final concert of the competition happens Wednesday night. You'll find a link to more at WUWM.com. And that wraps up our show today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. So great to have you listening. And I hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect right here on listener-supported 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee.
Fresh air comes your way next. It's 11 o'clock.